Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
I am marvelous. I am back in my New York City apartment.
Oh, you look happy. You got a nice new lamp behind you. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day.
You guys can't see this, but I'm clicking the lamp on. And I'm clicking the lamp off. Ready? I'm going to test you. This lamp is functional. How functional?
How functional is it, Rob?
Well, and then I would get it. Okay, musical theater fans. How functional? What's that from? How functional? It's a cue line for a song. Budapest in the early 1930s, and Amalia is opening up.
She loves me.
She loves me. It's a line right before "No More Candy, My Dear."
There is a phone ring that people have on their iPhone, and it sounds just like the candy box sound. Da 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 da. And every time that phone ring goes up, it's like a text alert, and it's like do do do. I think of "She Loves Me" every single. Do you guys know, listeners? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like the text alert, and it's like do do do, and it sounds like the little music box, little.
And there's something on my phone. When I punch in a number, I think it's my parents' number. The last five digits are merrily. Do, 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 do.
That's amazing. I love that story.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed.
The joys of being a theater fan, because you just hear a little, or like the subway has like the West Side Story that like, do, 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 do. Isn't like there's a place for us?
That's
it's like,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes forget that people aren't like big musical theater fans like we are. And so like if somebody will look at me and be like, "Oh, well, there's no chemistry." I'll be like, "Yeah, chemistry.
Chemistry
from Guys and Dolls." And in my mind it makes sense, but I don't think it makes sense in their minds because they're looking at me like I'm crazy.
You are, and so am I a little bit, but yeah.
I prefer the term off-kilter.
Ah, off-kilter's nice. That works very well.
I'm a little off-kilter. That's also what you call a nudist Scotsman.
Oh, my gosh. How do you do that so fast, Rob?
Well, it's not hard to think of bad jokes really fast, Kevin.
See, you should be the dad because you have the good dad humor.
Can I feed you I'll give you bad dad jokes that you can then tell your child into the – I'll be like Cyrano. I'll be like Cyrano. Are you trying to charm your child and I'll be in the bush with a big nose?
Whispering little isms to me so that I can say the right thing. That's fantastic. Thank you.
It's what I live for. How's your baby?
Oh, Crawford is so good. He's getting so big. He's just – he's a little baby Jabba the Hutt, I call him, because he's just so fat. But he's a healthy boy. He's smiling now. Good. And he's – he's like 10 weeks old now, and he's just adorable. He's just so full of life and so happy and just – it's truly an adventure. And I was saying to you before we recorded that I've been home a lot, on purpose to try to spend as much time as I can with Sutton and the baby. And it's just been I think I said this before, but I do not know how like single parents do it, because keeping the house together, keeping the baby together, keeping your life together, paying the bills. It's a full-time job constantly. And I'm constantly amazed at what Sutton is doing and how great a job she's doing. But it's a joy. I have like 2 or 3 hours in the morning when Sutton goes back to sleep to try to catch up on her sleep overnight. And from like 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 a.m. is like my favorite time, because he falls asleep in my arms and I show him show tunes. And lately we've been watching the DVD of Romance Romance. Did you know that was out there? The Cherry County Playhouse. Rest in peace. But they're in production with John Herrera. I know you're laughing at me, but I found it in my old DVD. You remember like we used to have DVDs? I remember we used to have like those little flip books of them, where we take them out of the jewel case. I found all these old shows that I had, like Tin Tights and Romance Romance and Legs Diamond and,
Oh, you got a bootleg of Legs Diamond?
I guess it's a bootleg. Yeah, it's a two-disc DVD of it, and it's the final performance of it.
Oh, I remember Romance Romance, I think, was on A&E.
I think this is the production that they filmed at a regional theater that has since closed, and it's with really great performers.
I'm
but
faithful
I yeah.
as they come, but in my dreams I live each moment
to
the maximum. I cruise around, I cover ground, I play the bass guitar. I'm where the bright lights are. Who says I can't have my romantic notions? Thank you. little tribute. That's from Romance Romance.
Yes, it is. I'm impressed that you knew all those lyrics, Rob. I'm really impressed.
A little trivia. So if you watch the 1988 Tony Awards and they show the clip of Romance Romance, it starts off with Scott Bakula and Allison Frazier in like Victorian costumes, whatever.
Because that's act one.
That's act one. And then they run off stage really fast and they come back and they're wearing modern clothes because then act two takes
act
place
two.
In contemporary times. If you watch when Scott Bakula comes out, he keeps looking over his shoulder because Allison Frazier had a wardrobe malfunction and she couldn't get her clothes off in time. And he kept looking off to see, like, is she going to come? Is she going to come? Is she going to come? But thank God she made it.
Fun fact. Good
fun
one.
Fact.
Wow. That's only because you've watched every single Tony Awards episode multiple times. I
multiple
love that.
Times. And yeah. If you want to hear more about the Tonys, check out My Little Tonys.
Yeah, they're great. They
haven't released
stuff.
An episode in a while. I'm getting nervous. I hope they're okay. You guys
oh,
okay?
They'll come back. They're doing research.
Their research is really fantastic.
Yeah.
Their research is really fantastic. And what I like about theirs, I'm looking at theirs right now, is when you go to their description, it cites all the articles that they found their research on.
I like that.
So, as opposed to us, where we can't cite some old queen at Cosmic Diner. Tony. Do you know about the time Allison Frazier almost didn't make it out on stage?
His name rhymes with Shmi Roy Loy, but I'm not going to say who.
Just
allegedly.
Allegedly. Hey, a big thank you to one of our listeners who sent us some stuff. Catherine O'Brien sent us a bunch of albums.
Ooh, thank you.
Including a vinyl too. I Had a Ball.
Oh, classic.
One of my favorites. One
a
of my
classic.
Favorites.
I love that show.
A ball.
Karen Morrow, Eat Your Heart Out.
With Buddy Hackett.
Yeah, wait, and Karen Morrow, yes, of course.
Karen Morrow and Buddy Hackett.
Karen Morrow.
And Richard Kiley was in that.
That's right.
I like Richard Kiley.
Fickle of Fate. The
Flying Finger. Fickle Finger of Fate? Flying Finger
yes,
of Fate?
Yes, the Fickle Finger of Fate. No, there's no flying. I don't think it's like flying.
Fickle
Finger of Fate, yeah.
I've been listening to No Strings a lot lately.
Fantastic score.
But I forgot, I just how much I like Richard Kiley.
He's one of my top favorites. Other than, you know, I of course I love my Jack Cassidy, but Kiley, oh gosh, he's always been one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
He does in 1980s. He did a Paint Your Wagon. He did the they call the Wind Mariah with this big ensemble. I think it was a favorite thing. I don't remember, but it's I go to that all the time and watch it because it's just he sings with such passion and such gusto that it's yeah.
I'm right here.
Oh
here.
Right, and you as well, Rob.
And you are gonna love me. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. That was a flat rendition of Dreamgirls. If you want to hear one on key, listen to the original Broadway cast recording. If you want one on key, come listen to me.
It'll get remastered. It'll get remastered. Everything's getting remastered these days. Hey, I just bought from Stage Door in London. I got a remastered 2-disc. Can you believe that they did this? Keen remastered. Second disc. What's on the second disc, you may ask? Oh, just all of the songs that were on from the show that were done by pop singers of the time. That's right. You too can hear Sweet Danger or the Willow song or plenty of other songs that, oh gosh, if you guys are like scratching your heads and saying, Kevin, what is Keen? You may go back and listen to the favorite things that we did like 2 years ago where I talked about it. But it's, oh gosh, I'm so excited to get this in the mail. It's going to be remastered and I can't wait to listen to the other songs on the second album. Yes, I bought a CD. It's the first time I bought a CD in a very long time.
That's very exciting, though. Do you know when Columbia used to, like, in the 90s, had that remastered series, the rework series, where they
yes.
remaster all the vinyls and put them out?
Yeah, I was a member of the Columbia Club, so that when I was growing up in Elmira, I would get, like, this, like, you know, you get, like, a little magazine. I was a member of the Columbia and the BMG, I think, was the other one. And you had to buy a certain number of albums a year. And I always, of course, only bought the musical theater albums, which there weren't that many. So I had, like, both Kiss of the Spider-Womans, the one with Cheetah, and then the one with Vanessa Williams. But, yes, I do remember when they did that. They did that with the cast recording of Company. They, you know, they re-released the
– They did.
The, yeah. And all the other Columbia albums. Oh, yeah, I was obsessed.
When those would come out. I wish they would still do that, but it sounds like everything is already out now at this point.
It is, and it's, you know, well, if they're digging the, you know, Keen is getting remastered, so that shows you how far they're going down. But, hey, I'm thankful. There's enough. There's 500 copies, and I think there's going to be 500 people that will buy it. So
I want a remastered Romance. If that doesn't happen, what's the point of living?
I believe that Keith Harmon, who wrote the music, reached out to us about coming on the podcast when we first got started.
We should bring him on, and I'll sing the song to him, and he can tell me who did it better, me or Scott Bakula.
I think that's a great idea, Rob.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Who sung it? Who wore it better? Who sung it better?
Yeah, who sung it better, Rob or Scott Bakula or John Herrera, who's on the DVD? Who's
if I get
still
kicked
performing?
Out by John Herrera. I'm quitting the business.
Hey, you could. You're like a young John Herrera.
Thank you. If you don't know who that is, kids, you could ask mommy and daddy to show you who John Herrera was. This is good. This is good for John. His career is getting a big boost from us today.
That's nice.
You're welcome, hey. John. You're welcome. I have nothing left to say.
That's good. You want to get to our favorite things.
Yeah. Is there any big Broadway news?
I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of it because, listeners, we were going to do our
next preview of
the season, and we're going to be meeting with a special guest this week in order to talk about the plays and the musicals. So other than that, I mean, I don't know if there really is anything that will not be saved until then.
That's so true. All right. So we'll keep it. Oh.
What?
I know a little something.
Ooh, share.
There might be a certain Sondheim musical from London that's transferring.
Oh, I've heard, and I already heard who might be playing the lead, and I am very excited about it.
I think we're all. I think it's the same person you're thinking of.
So,
folks, I think they found their female Bobby, and it's someone that we all know and love, and I think it'll be a brilliant choice. And it'll be nice for her to have another lead role on Broadway.
And I'll be really excited. Yeah. Oh, another yes. And the Tony's already in the pocket. I mean, it's already in the bag. It's like, you're welcome.
This would be her second Tony, folks. We're dropping some clues for you.
Mm-hmm.
So start thinking. Let us know who you think it is. It's me.
You're going to look great in that wig. Nice, like, it's going
to
look great.
I talked to Marianne Elliott. She was like, I'm confused, but all right. I told her I was a big star.
It's a good one.
Thank you. But it's okay. All is well.
Oh, but I will say one of my favorite musicals of all time is coming, and that is Carolina Change. I know we're going to talk about that later, but I am so freaking excited.
I thought you were going to pass out when the news came.
I know. This is a transfer from London, and I am just, you know, sometimes I think that the rest of the country is about 15 years behind my musical tastes, Rob, because that's how long it took Violet to get on Broadway. Now Carolina Change is coming back. I have a feeling it's going to be a bigger hit than it was, even though Tanya Pinkins was amazing. Now I'm just waiting for Marie Christine to come back, and then I'll be all, you know, I'll be set.
And then you can retire from the business.
That's, well, or something, yeah.
That's easy. He's going to start a new journey, folks. As a craftsman,
I'll predict.
Kevin,
15 years
to build tables.
No, you know what'll come back sooner? Wild Party. Look, he's a Wild Party. That I'd like to see again. But anyway,
that's one with Toni Collette, right?
Yes. You still haven't listened to it, obviously. Oh, you don't have to ask that question, Rob.
I will say this again.
All this traveling. Oh, I'm on a 7-hour flight to LA. I'm going back again. I'm going to Boston. I'm going to this. All these trains and planes and automobiles. You can't listen to this album.
I was getting off book for Romance, which I thought you'd appreciate. Fine.
It was impressive. No, that was very impressive because you had no idea I was going to talk about that today. And the fact that you had that song in your back pocket, that definitely must have been a shower song at some point for you.
At some point, how about still?
You know you're going to go listen to that cast recording after we get done.
You know I'm pulling it up right now.
Oh my gosh. But not Wild Party, clearly.
No. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't. If it's the third time I have to ask you to do it, I'm not going to ask
you. I don't like this show. I don't know what else to say. I don't like either version. Not because of like the songs. The songs are. I'm just not invested in the story. It's a bunch of.
You have to listen to it. You have to listen to it. If you don't know, the music might be something that speaks to you. You don't know.
I saw it. I've seen the college productions of it. I went to see when Sutton Foster was in it. I just can't, I don't know what it is.
Sure.
It's a bunch of miserable people at a miserable party.
yeah, it's that's one version of the events of going on.
So you
a lot of brilliance.
So what are you, okay, that's my interpretation.
It's a lot of people struggling through darkness in their own lives that are trying to find the light and trying to find what they want to do with their life. And the yes, it all takes place in the scenario, but it's about moving past that. And they explore it. And the brilliance of Michael John McHugh's music that is never gets old to my ears and is a constantly an exciting listen when I put that album on.
Well, now I sound like an asshole.
I'm just messing with you. It's fine.
It's you it's know fine. What? It's healthy. It's healthy for us to have different opinions.
I think so.
It is. It is. Folks, I'm looking for a new podcast co-host. If you own a microphone and hate the Wild Parties, come out.
You're set.
Kevin is also looking for a someone who has a microphone and can talk
must,
in their own voice.
Must love Violet and Caroline or Change and Michael John McHugh's is the Wild Party. That's all my requirements are. That's fine. That's all.
Okay, but I think I told you.
Mine's positive. It's not about a negative. Mine's actually happy about something. But no, that's fine.
How did we come to this? A question.
We'll have to do it now. Which we'll have to split up the episodes, though. Who gets what episodes?
It was like a custody battle.
Yeah. Like, we'll cut them each in half. So you'll get the first half of the interview to play, and then they have to go to my podcast.
I think there'll be some episodes we'll put up for adoption that neither one That's of us true. Are interested in having any longer.
Oh, God. All right.
There have been some, you know what, coming up on 200 episodes soon?
I know. It's incredible. I on my Skype, I saw that we had this – the last phone call I made before you was 3 years ago when we did that group Skype with my the other Broadway World gut fellows, Marino and
– Oh, yeah. Yeah. James
Tominini. That was the last – but I thought, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe that was over 3 years ago. That's just blows my mind. And we've been consistently putting this out for, twice a week,
and in a couple of weeks, we have an exciting announcement about another platform that's going to be hosting our podcast. And so I was going through and looking to see, all the ones we've done. It's like we covered a lot of people.
I have a list on my phone of all the people I initially, wanted to – when yeah, we first started out. Yeah. We've checked them all off. I mean, and I'm not saying this to pat ourselves on the back, but it's all those stories have been captured and preserved for, and we've reminded certain people of certain individuals in the industry that maybe could have been forgotten. And I'm really, really, really proud of that. To be perfectly honest, it's really
me too.
Exciting,
me too.
And I look forward to getting more and more people. I think it's we got a couple of really fun interviews coming up, and we're going to keep going after all the ones that might be forgotten as well. So
I'm
more than one person has asked me about the Set Still Wet, and we are still going to be doing that, friends. It's just our schedules this summer were such that we just had a hard time being in the same place at the same time. But we are, and this fall we're going to get a whole new round of people for the Set Still Wet. So look forward to that.
Don't give up on us. Don't give up on us.
Yeah, don't give up on us. Don't leave us.
Stay with us. Stay with me. Who out there can love you more than I?
Me. I will, Rob. I will. See, full circle. We're healed now.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
All right.
We had our own wild party.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, favorite things. This is what the show is called. That's what the show is called. Okay. Who wants to go first? Should we be like Mary Stewart and flip a coin and see who
goes first. Let's do rock, paper, scissors. Ready?
All right.
One, two, three, and go. I did scissors. He did paper. So that means I go first?
That's right. You go.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to give you options, Kevin.
Ooh, I love options.
Would you like a YouTube thing? Would you like a book? You have two options.
Let's go YouTube.
YouTube. Okay, friends, I am so excited for this. If you remember, I'm sure you do, that The Ed Sullivan Show was one of America's most popular television shows from the late 1940s to the early 1970s. Ed Sullivan was instrumental in making sure that Broadway musicals were seen in every single living room all across America, right? But not just the big shows. It wasn't just like West Side Story and Music Man. If there was a show opening on Broadway, more likely than not, an extended version of it would have appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show at some point. There were no VCRs back then, so everything is sort of lost to us, right? Until now. A YouTube channel has popped up that has about 3 hours of footage of different various clips from the Ed Sullivan Show. You'll see, like, the My Fair Lady, and you'll see Camelot, but you'll also see Look to the Lilies.
No way.
You'll also see a whole bunch of other stuff. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
This reminds me of when they used to have BlueGobo.com was around the day.
Yep.
And then whoever owned it was like, nope, they took all the Ed Sullivan stuff down, and then it was lost. But taken to make money off of.
Exactly.
But I'm happy that it's back on. Oh my goodness.
So here's the thing. It used to be, it was on BlueGobo, and it all went away, right? And now it's back up again. But here's the thing, folks. I don't want to tell you, I'm just going to tell you where to look for it, if that makes sense. The channel is called Jim Berg, B-E-R-G, Jim Berg. And you have to scroll all the way down, which is a good thing, because I think Jim is trying to hide it from people. I'm being serious, because they might, pull it off. So, oh God, I hope I'm not giving away something really special.
But we'll know in a week if it goes away that it was because of us.
I'm really sorry, Jim. But, you're going to see, the Rothschilds. You're going to see Look to the Lilies. And guys, these are full performances. Full performances. You're going to
Does it have, the timestamp along the bottom, with, 1964?
And there's about 8 different segments on here that he's posted. And like I said, the totality of it runs about 3 hours. Elaine Stritch singing from On Your Toes. Things from Tenderloin, things from The Most Happy Fella, things from Golden Apple. It's a pretty extensive and exhaustive things from Wish You Were Here, a really extensive thing. And it's the original performers, and they're not just performing a song. They're usually doing a couple of songs with dialogue in between, with representative sets and costumes. It's a fabulous, fabulous archive. I'm so sorry. I hope I didn't give anything away. Nobody take this down. It needs to be up there.
It's there to be seen. We should be all looking at it.
So you're going to go to Jim Berg, J-I-M-B-E-R-G, and you're going to have to scroll down a lot because it's buried. Look for the black and white footage with the timestamps, and you are going to be in musical theater heaven.
Were there any that you found that were shocking or that exciting or things you hadn't seen before? Or, maybe you hadn't looked at a lot of them, but I'm just really curious.
There's a Bye Bye Birdie sequence, and it has Cheetah Rivera doing Spanish Rose. Mm-hmm. It has the scene before Ed Sullivan. Then it has Ed Sullivan. Then it has Put on a Happy Face. And then an interview with Dick Van Dyke.
That's what I love, how he would just come out there and start chatting with them.
I don't mean two lines and off we go. It's the whole kitchen scene before they sing Ed Sullivan. It's pretty special. So anyway, a couple of years ago, 20 years ago, I think on DVD they released selected Ed Sullivan clips. This has stuff that I don't think anybody's ever seen. So
right.
Pickwick, there's stuff from Pickwick.
Wow.
So, I know. So go take a look.
All right, thank you. Wow, thanks Jim Berg, too, for putting that stuff out there for us. My favorite thing this week is a soundtrack. Usually we do cast recordings, and as any listener of our podcast definitely knows, a cast recording is a Broadway, the songs from a Broadway show, but a soundtrack are the songs from a movie. This is a movie sound. I just watched this movie a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. It's based on a comic strip. The movie actually has 3 soundtracks, one of the most venerable of all writers of the musical theater canon, wrote some of the songs on one of the soundtracks. I'm only going to talk about one of the soundtracks. It was the second one to be released. A lot of Broadway royalty are in the movie and on the soundtrack. And the song from the soundtrack won Academy Award for Best Song.
It's a cartoon?
It's based on a cartoon, like a comic, based on a comic.
Oh.
You know.
This is Dick Tracy.
This is Dick Tracy. And the album is I'm Breathless by Madonna. I forgot. I mean, I of course played some of the songs that Stephen Sondheim wrote for this soundtrack. Now, like I said, there were three albums that the movie released. One of them, the first one, was the original soundtrack, which is all of the pop songs and you know, Katie Lang sang some songs, and it's just the fun songs on the album. The second is this, the album is called I'm Breathless, because her name in this movie is Breathless Mahoney. She was Warren Beatty, who was the director, producer, and starred in this Dick Tracy, his love interest in the film. And I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts away, but she's involved, but she's a cabaret singer in the film. And so is Amanda Bütikofer, is the piano player. And so they had Stephen Sondheim come in and write a couple songs. He wrote four songs that are on the soundtrack, and they are really fun. Some of the songs, listeners, you know, like Sooner or Later, What Can You Lose is a song that Mandy Patinkin sings. Madonna sings it on the album. And I just was revisited by it, and I fell in love with it all over again. Now, three of the songs that's of the four that Sondheim wrote are on this soundtrack. Another song is called More. The fourth song is called Live Alone and Like It. And Mel Torme actually sang it for the movie, which I think is really fun. The other song, fifth song, Back in Business, which is, of course, is like real fun number that she has. But the Academy Award went to Sooner or Later, which I think is really fun. And that kind of theatrical song by Stephen Sondheim won the Academy. The album came out in 1990. Just to say that out there. And they had a hard time. The studio had a hard time finding a director for this. Warren Beatty was the producer, and he didn't set out to direct it initially. And I find this is a fun fact, but they actually in the 80s approached Bob Fosse to direct the film.
Yes.
But he turned it down. Of course you know that. Geez, Rob, like, you know everything.
No, I just really love Dick Tracy.
But fun fact, on this album, this I'm Breathless album, the number one single to be released by Madonna that year, though, was not one of these Sondheim songs. Oh no, fans of Pose, it was Vogue, which doesn't really fit into the world of Dick Tracy, really. The second single to be released was Hanky Panky, and that's a little bit more like Madonna helped produce it, and she helped was in the studio with Sondheim, and they worked on it together. And they really both set out to write songs that captured this world of Dick Tracy, jazzy, smoky. I guess she even like was smoking a cigarette when she was recording her songs. Ooh, that's me massive. Smoking a cigarette. But the album is really fun. It was her second soundtrack album. And I think it did very, very well. It was number two on the U.S. Billboard charts. It was number one in Europe. And I think that it's really cool that Stephen Sondheim, this is one of the rare instances where he contributed to a movie. It's not Reds. It's not one of the other things he did. Yeah. But this is five solid songs, four on the album, of Stephen Sondheim material sung by Amanda Bütikofer and Madonna. And that is I'm Breathless.
I love Dick Tracy.
So good. I haven't seen it in years, Rob. And I was so just like, good. It's fun. Oh, you've got little cameos by, like, you know, Al Pacino, of course, is in it. Dustin Hoffman, Paul Sorvino, Dick Van Dyke, and a very small role, Catherine O'Hara. Hi, Catherine. Right? That's crazy.
And Kathy Bates.
And Kathy Bates, of course. How could I forget?
She shows up with like one line.
I know.
Catherine O'Hara has like no lines.
I know. And she's like literally just one little aside, and that's it.
And what I love in the movie is that Al Pacino, his rival mafia guy, is played by James Caan.
Yes.
They were brothers in The Godfather.
Exactly.
And I'm like, this is good. Trivia. Who was supposed to play... Okay, so Dustin... If you don't know the film, folks, Dustin Hoffman plays Mumbles. A character named Mumbles, who only mumbles. Patti LuPone was up for the role and lost it. Kidding. I'm kidding. She doesn't mumble at all. Who was originally... It was between Dustin Hoffman and who for that role?
I know this because I read it, but I just don't remember anymore.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Can you imagine?
Gilbert Gottfried. And then who was going to play Dick Tracy? Because Warren Beatty didn't want to play Dick Tracy.
No, yeah, that's right. He did that at the end. I don't remember.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Boy, that would have been good.
I used to – Dick Tracy was my favorite movie growing up, so much so that it used to be a special skill. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it on a podcast because it makes no sense. But there's a really famous scene in the movie where Al Pacino is talking to people and he realizes there's coffee dripping down from the ceiling because he's starting to realize that's where they've been hiding the microphones.
Yeah.
In the ceiling. And so I can do Al Pacino discovering – that there's microphones in the ceiling. But if you remember in the film, he mouths everything because he doesn't want it to be picked up on the microphone. So next time I see you, Kevin, I will do my full-on impression.
Oh, my gosh, I can't wait.
Discovering there's microphones in the ceiling. Once again, podcast listeners, I'd be more than happy to show it to you, but we are in audio media.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Rob, for that. I look forward to that, Kevin, for sure.
Thank you. So I'm going to go listen to Breathless. I'm Breathless. Which is also the title of my album after I go up my stairs every night.
Oh my, that's true. Fun fact. And I'm going to go to YouTube and check out Jimberg, J-I-M-B-E-R-G, and scroll down and find some of these Ed Sullivan clips.
You are going to flip.
Can't wait.
Flip. Maybe we'll post the links online. Just, I don't care if you're from CBS. I don't care if you're fucking the ghost of Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
Don't take these clips down.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. Anyone touches these things, you're going to have to hear from me.
Yeah.
I will sing the whole score of Romance, Romance to you, and then you will be sorry. Nothing else to say. All right. Can't wait to have you all tune in next week, and we'll tell you a little bit about what's going to be coming in the 2019-2020 season. Let's see if we can figure out who's going to play Bobby for us.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good.
All right.
See you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.